we are going to learn four nutriment suffering, and you do have this particular paper in your folder. So I will use the website version of that one to start on, because the funds are bigger. Then this one is there in the website, Sataragatiya for bad ways. So here we are going bad day through will. Four bad days are there: bad day through hate, bad day through fear, bad day through delusion. So there are these 40 defilements. And so this is the first bad way we are talking about, this the physical nutriment, kabalikara ahara. Remember, what you have is this particular diagram. That's what you have. So physical nutriment is the food that you are eating, as well as the beautiful person, is a physical nutriment. So because of the physical nutriment, then you get the perversion that there is fair while it is foul. Remember, we were talking about yesterday that when you have hair in your head, you comb it and treat it, and then you consider it as a good thing, fair thing. But when you see that one in a plate that you are eating, you are saying it's disgusting. So the real nature is the foul nature, but we consider it as a fair. So there is a perception that it is fair while it is foul, sometimes translated as the ugly, beautiful while it is ugly. Not only the perception, there is also a thought that it is fair while it is foul. Let us say you look at someone that hair is so beautiful, so then you perceive that person as a beautiful person because of the hair. So that is a thought that it is fair while it is foul. And not only that, there is this particular view that it is fair while it is foul. That view is that when it comes to view, you are tolerating. One good example is that durian. You know, durian is a smelly fruit, and the person who is eating durian, he tolerates the smell of durian. Let us say two people are in a car and one is eating durian, the other one is not eating durian. Then the person not eating durian feel like jumping out of the car. And the person eating that one and keep on doing that. So similarly, our body is full of impurities. We have this hair out of the body, nails, teeth and excrement, urine, saliva, snot and so on. And but this particular body, someone is touching, thinking it's your mouth is smelly. But someone is touching it, thinking it's a good thing. So by the time of touching that, you are tolerating the smell of the mouth and so on. So when it comes to view, then you are tolerating. So there are three perversions over here: the perception that it is fair while it is foul, the thought that it is fair while it is foul, the view that it is fair while it is foul. So if you have this perversion, then you cling to sensual desire because you perceive it as a fair thing. And then clinging to sensual desire come to arise, kama upadana in Pali. Then it becomes the bond of sensual desire. So the kama yoga. Yoga in Pali means that not letting you escape from the samsara, because you want to have food, you are going to work. Going to work is considered as stealing. Because you are stealing, you will be born. When you are born, then you want to have food again. So you have to go to work again. So it's like a dog running around a pole with a leash on it, because he can't escape. Because of the food, you are going to work. Because of the going to work means stealing, therefore will be born. Since you are born, then you want to have food again, so you are going to work again. So not letting you escape from the samsara, going from birth to birth. So that is bond of sensual desire. Because of this food and things, it's happened. And then we get the bodhitayo covetousness, abhijja kaya granthi pali. So covetousness, you understand that having seen something, you are saying, let this be mine. And then you get this covetousness. So here the bodhitayo covetousness, you see that you want to have the food. So you are tied to the food. And then to have the food, then you got to have a job, you are tied to the job. And then to the institution that providing you the job, you are tied to that one as well. And you want to have how you want to go to work, so therefore you got to have a vehicle. So you are tied to the vehicle as well. Sometimes people are saying, I miss my bus. You know, buses belong to company or the government, but you take it as mine as well. And then for you to cook, you need to have a house. Then you are tied to the house. And also you are tied to the cooker in the house. You know, what is the most important equipment in your house? It is the cooker, isn't it? Without the plastic box TV, you can live. But without a cooker, you can't live. So that is most important. So then you are tied to all of these things. So in addition, you can take that you are tied to your, you know, husband, wife, children, and so on, all of those things. So you get the body tie of covetousness. Then you get the taint of sensual desire, kama srava in Pali. The taint of sensual desire is a post perception of you taking something as pleasurable. So let us say that you are entering a house and then you get a good smell, someone is cooking. And so you think, today I am going to have a good curry. But after eating only, that you understand that this one has got, you know, sufficient amount of salt, lime, vinegar and so on. So after eating also, you were saying that, you know, this is good. That means you have the post perception of this thing is pleasurable. So there is this taint of sensual desire. So that one become more and more. Yesterday we discussed, then we get the flood of sensual desire. And when it comes to the unbearable state, we get the barb of lust. So when you have the barb of lust, a dart is whizzing into your mind. What is the dart? The dart has been labeled as fair, while it is foul. The poison arrow, the poison inside the arrow is the foul nature. But it has got a label as fair. And then, you know, sometimes this one is, poison comes out, then you have this aging and so on, become visible. So when that happened, then remember yesterday we discussed this one, you know, young girl see a young boy, and then their hearts are beating. By that time, if the father or the mother is saying, you know, get rid of that boy, get rid of that girl, they can't. Because that, you know, the dart is inside the bloodstream and it says fair. So when this happens, then form becomes the steady point for consciousness passing on. That is because that the form, physical nutriment, is the one letting us come into the barb of lust. So therefore, the consciousness becomes steady on the form. So it's like the monkey now hold into the form. This is one of the knowledges of the Buddha. Buddha can say this person's mind is now holding to the form. So if you want food like cutlets and things, and where do you have to go? You need to creep into a womb, isn't it? Mother's womb and animal womb. So then you go bad way through will. So when you do that one, then you get three results. So the three results are birth, pain, and the distress. You know, when small children, when they do mathematical sum, 2 plus 3 equals 5, and they draw two lines to the number 5. Likewise, the two lines has to be drawn over here for the pain. Don't draw line, but it is the answer for this first path. So now the pain is the one getting contacted. Why are we saying the pain is the one getting contacted? How long it will say take for you to go from this birth to death? 80 years. So if you have lived 40 years, then 40 divided by 80, 50%. Pain is the one getting contacted when you go in front of the mirror. For the 79-year-old one, 79 divided by 80, 99%. For the 4-year-old one, 4 divided by 80. So that is the one getting contacted. So when we get this contact as nutriment, remember we discussed this one yesterday. You need to think about as a skin cow. Wherever it is being, skin cow is, the insects are biting her. So our eye is open, ear is open. Whether we like it or not, we get this contact. So when we have the contact, then there is this perversion that there is pleasure in the painful. We perceive it as pleasure. So the, you know, the, you are dying and so on. So 50% and, you know, 90%, that is the thing you're getting contacted, but you are perceiving it as pleasure. Then you get, when you have the pleasure, then you hold the future, virtue and due to clinging. Remember yesterday we discussed that this one happened when you have a good time, you know, on a Sunday, for example. You are not going to work, you go for a vegetable shops, fair or somewhere, and then take them home and cook them. And then you are going to the, you know, to a river and have a bath. And then together, all of you are eating, the whole family is eating. And husband and wife didn't have a fight. Children are studying very well as well. So at that moment you take, you know, today is good, that tomorrow will be good as well. So that is, you get the virtue and due to clinging. And I mentioned that, so the end result over there, that is, one is thinking, and by practicing virtue that I can be born in divine world and so on. So if you have the virtue and duty clinging, then you get the bond of existence, that you are happy to go into the divine worlds and other worlds and so on. And then you get the body tie of ill will. Why do we get the ill will? Because we thought, you know, today is good and tomorrow is good as well. But the tomorrow comes, you are just about to go to work, and then you are getting a call from the office, don't come to work, you are fired. Now what will happen? Now, so you get the ill will. Now it's actually a body tie of ill will. You see, whatever we have over here, body tie of covetousness, whatever thing you are tying to, now they become ill will. Because if you don't have a job, then you can't have food. Then let us say you bought a car to go to work. How can I pay the mortgage of the car? And, you know, house and everything, whatever thing you are tying to, now they become ill will. There's no point having a cooker if you don't have food to cook, isn't it? So body tie of ill will. And then you get the taint of existence. This taint of existence is a post perception of you taking something as self. Then we need to explain, how do you get the idea of self? Remember that mango example, that you earn money, pay quite a lot of bills, and at the end of the day, you ended up with you know, $10 or so. Then you bought a mango pile, a rotten mango pile, and cut down the rotten part, and then eat the mango, and there was this pleasure. So then that pleasure becomes the self over here. And now we are saying that self, while it is not self, so what is not self over here? Is the mango yours? When you buy the mango, you are saying, this is my mango. But you know, if the rotten mango dealer is no longer living, then you can't have the mango next day also. So then the mango is belong to the mango dealer. So then you go and meet him and ask him, whose mango is this? Then the mango dealer is saying, sir, it is not mine. I got it from the farmer. It belonged to the farm. Then you go and talk to the farmer. Farmer is saying, sir, it is not mine. I got it from the tree. So then the mango is belong to the tree. So if you can talk to a tree, then tree will tell you that it is not mine. It is belong to the earth. So then it is four great elements. So in other words, mango is not mine, is not self, but the feeling when I eat the mango is self. Another example is, let us say on a beach, you know, in the surfboard, someone is on the surfboard and he is saying, look at me and video me, take a photo of me. You know that there's a wave and then he's sliding on the top of the wave. So in this example, he's taking the form as self. Previously, mango is not self. Here, the form, the water over there, wave is self. And then when he's sliding on that wave, the feeling, whatever feeling he has, but feeling is self. What he did not understand, the wave is due to wind, isn't it? So wind stop, then I myself will disappear. So in the case of us, how do we actually generate this wave? We generate the wave by contacting from our eye, ear, nose, tongue, body and the mind. And Buddha is saying that wave is bigger than, you know, that all the waves in all the water in these four great oceans. Because when you were born as a cow, when they chop off your head, the blood you shed is more than the water in the four great oceans. That many times you have been born as a cow. That many times you have been born as a chicken. So that much, you know, blood we have shed. So in this particular example, that the contact is not self, but the form and the feeling that come to arise, depending on the contact, are regarded as self. So post-perception of you taking something as self is the taint of existence, bhavasra. Well, this can be shown in a diagram, that this is the same diagram you have, but I remove the Pali word, leave the English word only. So you can see I have drawn a line from mental volition to the birth, the black line. Whatever dhamma to the left of this line is representing what is called greed. And I have drawn three parallel lines, the red lines. So what does that mean? So if I draw a line from the pleasure, then I am coming to the taint of sensual desire. So the taint of sensual desire is the post-perception of me taking something as pleasurable. And then if I draw a line from the self, it is come to the taint of existence. Then the taint of existence is the post-perception of you taking something as self. If I draw a line from the permanence, then it is come to the taint of views. So then the taint of views is the post-perception of you taking something as permanent. So these are the post-perceptions. So we were talking about the taint of existence as a post-perception. Then it become more and more. So we get the flood of existence. And when it comes to the unbearable state, you get the barb of hate. So at that particular time, a dart is wedging into your mind. A dart has been labeled as pleasure. What is inside the dart is the displeasure or painful nature. So that is the dart wedging into your mind. Remember my grandfather's example. He was living for 100 years, and all the time when he's going to eat, and he is grumpy because he is saying these people can't cook. So what is the dart? He got the pleasure, you know, when he was eating young, he thought that is this pleasurable thing. The taste buds are gone, is no longer pleasurable. So the dart has ventured into his mind. So then what he was actually demanding, let me have the feeling that I used to have when I was young. So then that means feeling becomes the steady point for consciousness passing on. Now monkey let go of the form in the first path and now is going and hold into the feeling branch. So we are going to the feeling. And so my grandfather always, you know, after lunch or dinner, he is going with hate out of the room because his taste buds are no longer there, going bad way through hate. So three results can be expected. That is aging, sadness, separation from what is pleasing. So the answer to the second line is the sadness. Now we do have a short meditation at this particular point, and we'll be extending that meditation little by little. So what is this meditation? The physical nutriment, and you spin with the barb of lust, and then you establish your consciousness in a canal of urine and excrement that is going bad day through will, and you ended up with pain. Pain contacted by the mind, and what you get is sadness. Remember that we were talking about painfulness as pain before. Painfulness, you start with the pain, ending with the sadness. Painfulness as pain. So we let us continue. So when your feeling is sad, then your perception also becomes sad. So from the sad perception, you get the mental volition. Well, we understand that one, isn't it? Because we got a rotten mango, not a good one. And then we define our life, you know, that this is what I'm going to do. I will pay quite a lot of bills and then eat a mango and live. So from the mental volition, volition coordinate to your feeling, perception and so on. And then you get the perversion that there is self while not self, which we learn from the surfboard example and the mango example. And then since you perceive as a self, then you have a view, so you cling into that view. So you get a view clinging. And then you get the bond of views becoming, you can't escape from samsara because of these views. Then you get the bodhitaya of misapprehension. So this bodhitaya of misapprehension is closely related to this virtue and duty clinging. Remember that engineering student who is actually in the first year of study, that person is thinking, I am an engineer. Fourth year comes, he might not even sit for the exam, he might pass away. Similarly, the person who is practicing virtue for the sake of being born in the, you know, divine world, he misapprehend. After this one, after death, I will be born among divine beings. But before fulfilling the virtue part, he might die and might go to hell. So he misapprehended that I am a divine being. So this is closely related to virtue and duty clinging. So then from the misapprehension, then we get the taint of views. This taint of views we discussed a little while ago, it's a post-perception of you taking something as permanent. So we need to learn how do you get the idea about permanency. So we get the idea about the permanency that if you can spin this physical nutriment with a barb of lust, then you get the idea of permanency. Take an example. Let us say you are invited to a party. And then you go dress and then you go to the party. And then you see on a table a hot cutlet plate is there. So then it's a, you know, like a light, it's coming and cutlet is there. it is fair thing. And then you do have manners. You can't just go and grab it. So you are spinning with the barb of lust, and you are there nearby that one. So you are still not invited to eat it. So then someone else is also coming to nearby you, and then that person also see the cutlet is there. And then they both started talking to each other, and maybe they were talking politics, and all of a sudden they forgot about the cutlet. And when they look at the cutlet plate, and it is vanishing very soon because the other people started eating. So what do? They become panic and they go and grab the cutlet. So what happened over here? You know, as far as you can spin the physical nutriment, cutlet is the physical nutriment. As far as you can spin that one with the barb of lust, then you get that the permanent, this permanent idea of permanency is established. Now let us imagine someone is actually bringing another plate of cutlet and filling this particular one plate. Then it is okay, you can keep on talking. So when it is vanishing, you understand that. So when you get the idea of permanency established in such a way, then it is maintained by your vanity or conceit. There is a bridge between this self to the permanency over here. So the left side is self, and then right side there is a permanency. So you are putting a jack over here from your conceit or the vanity. One good example is, let us say you want to buy a car. So to buy a car, you take about, let's say, $25,000 or $50,000. You go to a car dealer and you are happy with the car. And then by the time of you signing papers, car dealer is saying that I am giving you only 3 years. What that means? That means warranty is 3 years. In other words, it will break after 3 years. Do you believe it? If you are believing it, then you don't put $50,000 over there. It happened to me when I went to buy a car in Brunei. When the car dealer was saying it is 3, I was thinking, oh, my father had a car and he was using that one for 30 years. So I'm saying, that person is saying 3. From my mind, I'm saying it's 30. And I had a car, I used it for 15 years and then I sold it. I don't know what happened after that one. So I'm saying 50. So that you are making a bridge from the self to the permanency, from your conceit that it will last. So that is how the permanency is established and then maintained. Now when you get the permanency, then the post perception of that one is this dityas, or the taint of views. So then that one becomes more and more, so we give it the flood of views. And when it comes to the unbearable state, we call barb of views. At that particular time, a dart is whizzing into your mind, but the dart is labeled as self. What is inside it, the poison, is the not self. Sometimes that even your office people show you that it is not yours. You know, you go to work and then they don't even let you come through the door. You know, they're saying you are fired, you can't. And so you are saying, how come the others are there? How come it is my job that they have taken out, isn't it? So it is the dart, the part is playing. So the after the dart, then you get this perception become the steadying point for consciousness passing on. Because the perception is the one letting you come into this, enter into this path. So therefore this monkey now let go of the form, let go of the feeling. Now it is holding to the perception. And then you go bad way through fear. Why you would go bad way through fear here? You are afraid your volitional formations will be broken. You know, let's take an example. Let us say a carpenter got 3 pieces of wood to construct a table, and 2 pieces are fine, the one piece bit rotten. You know, insect bites and things are there. So then carpenter constructed the table. He didn't have a choice. And then after constructing, he find that, you know, to the right side of the leg of the table, that rotten wood piece is there. Now he is afraid this table will be broken. So here we are talking about the mind formations, whatever your mind constructed, and you are afraid it will be broken. The carpenter's, you know, the perception, wood piece is the perception. And then whatever thing he constructed, the volitional formations, remember we discussed that one is drawing somewhere here, and then you are afraid it will be broken. So then 3 results can be expected: the sickness, sorrow, and union with what is displeasing. So the answer to the third column is the sorrow. So now let us extend our meditation that we were doing, that is the physical nutriment. You spin with the barb of lust. You establish your consciousness in a canal of urine and excrement that is going bad day through will. And you ended up with pain. Pain contacted by the mind, you ended up with the sadness. From the sad perception, you construct volitional formations. They have sorrow nature. So we are extending this meditation a little bit further. From the sorrowful volitional formations, we construct consciousness. So how to understand the consciousness as nutriment? And that Puttamansa Sutta, Buddha is explaining that one, how to understand the consciousness as nutriment. Buddha is saying, and how, bhikkhu, should the nutriment consciousness be seen? Suppose they were to arrest a bandit, a criminal, and bring him before the king, saying, "Sire, this man is a bandit, criminal. Impose on him whatever punishment you wish." The king says to them, "Go, men, in the morning, strike this man with 100 spears." So it's caning. In the morning, they strike him with 100 spears. Then at noon, the king asks men, "How is that man?" "Still alive, sire." "Then go and at noon, strike him with 100 spears." At noon, they strike him with 100 spears. Then in the evening, the king asks men, "How is that man?" "Still alive, sire." "Then go and in the evening, strike him with 100 spears." In the evening, they strike him with 100 spears. What do you think, bhikkhus? Would that man be struck with 300 spears, experience pain and displeasure on that account? Venerable sir, even if he was struck with 1 spear, he would experience pain and displeasure on that account, not to speak of 300 spears. It is in such a way, bhikkhu, that I say nutriment consciousness should be seen. When the nutriment consciousness is fully understood, name and form is fully understood. This name and form does not mean that your name, it is that contact, feeling, perception, volition, and the attention is the part over here, and the form. When the name and form is fully understood, I say there is nothing further that a noble disciple needs to do. That means he become an arahant. So we are getting struck with these 300 spears, isn't it? How do we get the first spear? From your alarm, isn't it? You know, some people are throwing away the alarm, saying that this stupid thing not letting me sleep. That is the first spear. Just think about a person here going to work, you know, about driving for 2 hours or so, or maybe take the train for 2 hours or so, and then going to work, doing work for 8 hours or more, and then coming back home. Take a lady, for example. So maybe that lady slept around 10 o'clock, but she is getting up early in the morning because she got to cook as well. So the first spear is from the alarm. You know, 4 o'clock or something, she is getting up. So that's the alarm. And then she is going to the kitchen. Are you happy to see the kitchen? Now again the spear is striking you. And then you think, you know, now what am I going to cook today? For the beans or carrot? You know, you need to change the menu. So another spear is striking you. And then when you are cooking, if there is no ingredients like tomato, salt and things, then another spear. If you have too much salt, one spear. Less salt for the curry, another spear. So this lady might, you know, cook, you know, rice and curry for the husband and then sandwiches for children. And she might not even eat, you know, take apple or something and then jump into a train, you know, get into a train. And then you are getting coached in the train. In Sri Lanka, for example, you know, they are getting coached in the train. And then now you go to work and the people in the office, are they actually saying, oh, you poor thing, you are so tired getting in this train and getting up early in the morning. Please sit down. I will bring you a cup of coffee or tea. No one is telling that one. They are asking, why are you late? If you are coming late like this one, we have to cut down your salary or we have to fire you. So another spear is striking. And then in the lunchtime, you eat and then you buy some vegetables. These days, you get many spears because of that. Because what you are buying these days are chemicals, isn't it? The food, poison. And then again, you get into a train, getting washed and so on. And then coming home, you see the kitchen. Are you happy to see that one? You have cooked once and you have to cook again. So, and then your 18-year-old baby is not at home. Then you can't even sleep. Remember we discussed yesterday? So then you are going to sleep. If the baby is there, you are going to sleep again. If you have a nightmare, another spear. So you can see, you'll be stuck with 300 spears. And Buddha is talking about the average. Some days it's more, isn't it? All the time you sigh, you know, take long breaths and so on. I have to do this and so on. So it's a good example. Why it is a good example? So what this man has done is a bandit or criminal. So that is karma. Because of the karma, then what you are thinking, you are getting the karma consciousness. Because of the karma consciousness. So that's how we should be understanding consciousness as nutriment. So you are crying morning to the afternoon because of this, you've been struck with these 300 spears. So we learn then how to understand the consciousness as nutriment. And then we also learn the perversion that there is permanence in the impermanent. You know that the cutlet example and then the bridge from your conceit or vanity. And then now you sort of pursue that you self exist. Then having pursued a self, you cling to that one. That is self theory clinging. So from that one, you get the bond of ignorance. So we already learn about the bond that it is not allowing you to escape from the birth to birth, samsara. And so here ignorance is there. What is this ignorance? You have already learned that one. Remember there are these 12 perversions over here. That the perversion that there is the perception that it is fair while it is foul. The thought that it is fair while it is foul. The view that it is fair while it is foul. So there are three things here. And then over here, the perception that it is pleasurable while it is painful. The thought that it is pleasurable. The view that it is pleasurable. So now six. And over here, you get another three. The perception that it is self. The thought that it is self. View that it is self. So now nine. And over here, when it comes to the fourth column. So there is this perception that it is permanent, the thought that it is permanent, view that it is permanent. So now there are 12 perversions. So that those 12 perversions are the closest thing for this ignorance. It is like, you know, let us say from a top of mountain, clean water stream is coming down, waterfall. So someone climbing that mountain put a red dye to that water stream. Someone below him putting a green dye, another one putting a blue dye, another one putting a yellow dye. So let us say you are in the mountain slope, then can you actually determine the color of this water, whether it's red, yellow or blue? They are all mixed up. Likewise, the problem that you have today, you can't determine, is it because I took it as fair, or is it because I took it as pleasure? Is it because I took it as self, or is it because I took it as permanent, or is it the thought that it is permanent, or the view that it is permanent, all mixed up. So that is the ignorance over here. So then you get the body tie of insistence that this is truth. So inside this one, you have this, you know, lying, harsh speech, frivolous talk, slander. This is a bigger one. Remember that you eat the rotten mango, cut down the rotten part and eat the mango, and then you are saying pleasurable. But what the Buddha is saying, what is there in this world? It is suffering. So now you are telling the Buddha, no, Buddha, when I eat the mango, it is pleasurable for me. You insist that it is the truth. And the reality is it is suffering. So this is the biggest one. So then you get the taint of ignorance. This taint of ignorance is also a post-perception of you taking something as self. Now it is a bit confusing, isn't it? Previously we were telling that post-perception of you taking something as self is the taint of existence. Now we are saying it is the taint of ignorance as well. It is not exactly like that. This body tie of insistence that this is truth has to approve it. Then you take something as self become the post-perception and become the taint of ignorance. It's like that you are attaching a stamp to a letter and then you put into the post box. Just because you put it to the post box, is it going? No, the postman is looking at whether you have attached correct amount of stamp. So then he approve it and then it is going. So the body tie of insistence has to approve. Then the post perception of self becomes the taint of ignorance. Then it becoming more and more. Then you get the flood of ignorance. When it comes to the unbearable state, then you get the barb of delusion. So at that particular time, a dart is wedging into your mind. This dart has been labeled as permanent. What is inside the poison, inside the dart, is the impermanent nature. So when the poison comes out, then you can see, you can expect the death as well, which is an answer to this particular path. So when there is this barb of delusion, you can see the volitional formations are the one constructing the consciousness. Therefore, the volitional formations become steady point for consciousness passing on. That means monkey let go of the form, let go of the feeling. Now it is holding to the volitional formation. And so now you go bad way through delusion. So this bad way through delusion includes all the other bad ways. Bad way through will, bad way through hate, bad way through fear. In addition, it has got its own bad ways as well. You might know there was someone called Alara Kala who went to the higher jhana concentrations before the Buddha. And then he thought that this is final. You know, after death I'll be born in this particular one, then I won't die. So because of the jhana concentration, also you get this going bad day through delusion. So there are three results can be expected, and the death and the lamentation. Remember that you will be struck with 300 spears and not getting what one wants. So the answer to the fourth column is the lamentation. You are crying all the time. So let us extend our meditation, and this is your first meditation. For that one, you are using the first line and one before the last line. So how do we do the meditation? So physical nutriment, and you spin with the barb of lust. You establish your consciousness in a canal of urine and excrement, that is going bad day through will. By doing that one, you ended up with pain. And then the pain contacted by the mind, what you get is a sadness. From the sad perception, you construct volitional formations. They have sorrow nature. From the sorrowful volitional formations, you construct consciousness. They have lamentation nature. So you being struck with 300 spears, you are crying from morning to the afternoon. And that is your life. Now I have to go to work. I have to drive. This is the stress, you know, while driving. And starting from the cooking example I gave. So that is what it is. In the office, you know, you sigh. I have to do this, do that, and so on. So that is the first meditation. You get a good understanding about your life. For the second meditation, you put over here, as for the physical nutriment, something you like to eat, or again you can put a beautiful person over here as well, physical nutriment. Remember that we learn that how we meditate is like a cooking with a recipe. This is the recipe. So 10 parts over here, going bad day through will, and then the pain, 11 parts, Dhamma parts are there. So then you question, this food, is this a physical nutriment? Yes, you put a tick. And then you put a beautiful person over there. You can't even put your own body over here as well. So beautiful person, is it a physical nutriment? Yes, the Puttamansa Sutta, the sun's best discourse, Buddha said, own sun, right? So you are a physical nutriment. So put another tick. And then you question yourself that because of that one, do I get fair while it is foul? So you see, if you leave food on a table for 2 days, on the third day, you come, you close your nose and put into the bin. It's a disgusting thing, isn't it? But you take this food and put inside your body, then again it is going for 2 days or so. Then the excrement coming out, you know, it's a disgusting thing. So, you know, as a person, meditating person, and just have a rice cooker in the room that you are actually meditating, plug in the rice cooker and then start meditating. When the rice is boiling and so on, then you get the smell. You know, for a hungry person, it's a really good thing. But for a meditator, then he can see how disgusting. If you eat rice from your hand, you wash it with soap and then smell it. You can see still there is a smell. So we take this disgusting thing and putting inside. So you say, yes, I got the perversion, wrong perception that it is fair while it is foul, for the food example. And you put a person as well. And then you can see this, our body is so full of, you know, bad things, like, you know, it's not saliva, excrement, urine and so on. It's your mouth is sort of smelly. And then someone is sort of touching this one. By that time, that person would be tolerating the smell of your mouth. So yes, I have the view that it is fair while it is foul. So put another tick over there. And then you ask yourself, am I clinging to sensual desire because of that one? Yes, that food that I am eating today, I want to have it tomorrow, day after tomorrow, and so on. So I'm clinging. So put another tick. And for the person also, you put another tick. Then you ask yourself, Do I have the wand of sensual desire because of this one? Yes, I do. Because, you know, since I want to have the food, this is not letting me escape from the samsara. Because I want to have the food, then I'm going to work. Going to work considered as stealing, therefore I'll be born. Since I am born, then I want to have the food again. So I have to go to work again. So it's like a dog running around with a leash. Can't escape. So put a tick over there. And then you, do I have bodhicitta of covetousness? Yes, I am tied to the food. I say this one is mine. And so I get the covetousness. And then I am also tied to the vehicle that let me, you know, go to work. And I am tied to the office and to the house and to the cougar in your house. So then you also have these dogs, cats, children and so on. You are tied to all of them. So put a tick over there. So then you are, here you are actually questioning yourself and then answering. And then do I have taint of sensual desire? That is the post-perception of you taking something pleasurable. Yes, yesterday also I ate that curry and told that person that it is yummy. So that means I have the post-perception of taking something as pleasurable. So put a tick over there. Then was it becoming big, more and more? Yes, the flood of sensual desire. Let us say you are going for a party and then lady in the house sort of distributing, you know, a particular curry she is serving. Try this one, try this one. And then people trying that one say, oh, this is really yummy. Where did you buy this one from? I bought it from that supermarket. Then you may be driving 10 miles or so to that supermarket to buy that one. So we can see that it's becoming more and more. So then when it becomes unbearable state, the barb of lust. So this is the time that dart is wedging into your mind. Dart is labeled as fair. So for that one, you can consider your own example, you know, that when you are young, a young girl see a young boy see a young girl, their, you know, hearts are beating. And so that example. And then, yes, I have that one as well. Then you question, do I, my mind becomes studying point for consciousness passing on. And that bite example is a good one. You know, you put a physical nutriment, that is a bite, and then you get the feeling, and then consciousness is aware of that one, and after the throat, it is no longer there. So you mix up another bite and put it over there. So in other words, you are going back to the form again and again. So yes, the consciousness becomes steady on the form. And then, did I go bad way through will? Yes, because I want this food, cutlets, you know, the whatever thing, chips and all those things you want to eat. And then you creep into a mother's womb or animal womb. So having done that one, you establish your consciousness in canal of urine and excrement. And you ended up with pain. Then you question yourself, is it befitting for me to do this one again? Won't I be ending up with pain? So when you are doing this one, don't underestimate this and don't overestimate it either. You know, some people underestimate, they think, what is it? It's just a food they are talking about and some sensual desire. I am a person who is meditating on this name and form level. You know, they don't understand what we mean by name and form. The dependent origination, the higher links, has to be meditated by the never returners. The other people should be doing the bottom part. Like, you know, yesterday we were looking at, because of the existence, birth come to be, which you can understand. So what Buddha said? Buddha said, if you understand the physical nutriment into that extent, then that person will not be coming to this world. In other words, you become a never returner. So that is this, don't underestimate it. And then some people are overestimating it. They are saying, I am now old. Now here there are 10 parts and then the pain, so 11. I can't remember these things. But let us say you can't remember the flood of sensual desire, but you can remember the barb of lust. Then you can sort of meditate more on that part. And you know, the funny thing is that you are saying it's difficult for me to remember this, but you always remember where you put your, you know, the key to the cupboard where you are putting your money, where you hiding the money. So you remember where you are hiding those things. So why can't you actually remember that those things are letting you go in the samsara birth to birth? Why can't you put some effort to get rid of this suffering part? So if you can't remember one, then whatever thing you remember, you would contemplate more. But this, if this is further troubling you, then one good way to handle this one is to have that piece of paper on your lap before the meditation. And if you can't remember, have a look. But look only one or two. Otherwise, it's like a loading and unloading. Consciousness also sort of preferring that one. Then you need to do this one from your mind. So it's okay to look at one or two. So that is the second meditation. So for the third meditation, you go across. You see that you got a baby type body, that is birth, and it was subject to aging, sickness, and death. So after death, you are in the mind-made body. You have not eaten so many days. So that is pain. So you were separated from the baby type body. Therefore, you have separation from what is pleasing. So in other words, birth, pain, contacted, you get the separation from what is pleasing. And this is the only body you have. And if you are separated from that one, what you are left with, union with what is displeasing. So in other words, aging, sadness, contacted, what you get is union with what is displeasing. So this can be shown in that arrows I have marked over here. You can draw these arrows as well if you want. That is birth, pain, contacted, separation from what is displeasing. Aging, sadness, contacted, union with what is displeasing. Sickness, sorrow, contacted, not getting what one wants. So you are going to meditate only on the first two arrows. Third arrow is difficult. So you can see only six parts over here. Birth, pain, separation from what is displeasing. Aging, sadness, union with what is displeasing. But for you to have the mind-made body, that you have not eaten for many days. So you got to have a death. So in other words, you got to have add the sickness and death to that one. So then eight Dhamma parts over here. This meditation is more powerful than the other two meditations because it's using, you know, the results of these columns. So that is the third meditation. How you do that one? You have a baby type body. And then you look at what happened to me now. I am already subject to aging, so I'm aged, so aging is there. And then you take a long breath and you think, what happened to my grandma then? The sickness and the death. After death, you are in the mind-made body, you have not eaten, so therefore pain. So you were separated by the baby type body, so there is separation from what is pleasing. And this is the only body you have. And if you are separated from that one, then everything else is not pleasant. So it is union with what is displeasing. In other words, aging, sadness, contacted, union with what is displeasing. So adding up the sickness and death, you get eight parts over here. So just to catch up, what was the first meditation? First line and one before the last line. Why do you do that one? Physical nutriment, who's been with the barb of lust, and you establish your consciousness in a canal of urine and excrement that is going bad day through will, then you ended up with pain. Pain contacted by the mind, what you get is a sadness. From the sad perception, you construct volitional formations. They have sorrow nature. From the sorrowful volitional formations, you construct consciousness, and those consciousness has lamentation nature. So you've been struck with 300 spears, morning to the night time, and then you are crying all the time. So you get a good understanding about your life. So that is the first meditation. Second meditation, you go through this first column, putting a food that you are going to eat, and then a beautiful person, and then approve, going through the line one by one. So that is the second, and then we mentioned the third meditation. So let us take 25 minutes or so for you to have a discussion, and then we will do the meditation.